This is episode 2 of What's Been Better. This week, we're talking about the importance of safe spaces and judgment-free zones. This year, we're going where we're celebrated, not where we're tolerated. If you've been here before, you know we cuss. And if you're new here, please get used to it. All right, hey, Miss Lori.
What's going on?
Not much. Not much.
Good day to you.
The same to you, ma'am. The same to you.
Yes. So.
So.
We're here in our episode 2. What has been better with you?
Okay. So, you know, I'm editing the episodes and learning new stuff. And we've gone to video now. Uh-huh. So learning all of that has been a challenge.
I can imagine.
Let me say this first. Last year when we started this whole process, I was not comfortable in my own skin to be on camera. Mm-hmm. So I was like, automatically when we started this, I was like, we are audio only. I do not want to be on camera.
Right.
And then as I got more comfortable, then I wasn't comfortable asking for help to edit the audio. And I was like, I just got to learn it myself and do it myself.
Right.
Now it's, can we record in one shot? Can we not have any technical glitches? Can we do all these things? So finding a new platform and doing that at the beginning of this week has been what's been better, because it has been so easy to do this process. So I'm very grateful for it. We don't have a sponsorship or anything like that. So I'm not going to mention who we're recording with or anything like that, or what I use to edit. Not yet. But I love it.
That is so awesome. And what's interesting, though, you remember when I asked you, should we use the other place? And, you know, just because of the time of day. Mm-hmm. And you were like, no, this is easier. I was like, right. Because I'm trying to keep it from, you know, like glitching and things like that. But when you said it was easier, listen, I want it to be easy peasy, honey.
Yes. I am grateful that you've always said, like, whatever we do, you're not going to stress about doing this show. Mm-mm. And so this has been stress free. It was some trial and error. But once I worked out the trial and error, I was like, oh, we're doing this. Yeah. We're definitely doing this. So
I just want everybody to know how much of a, I don't like to say a beast. You know how people say, oh, she's a beast. And I like, words matter. Sylvia is not a beast, but she is awesome as shit. Like, you know, she is the shit. Let me tell you. And then maybe not even saying the shit. I don't know. What the hell? She's awesome. Damn it. Like the way she goes in to do what she's doing is amazing.
Thank you.
I couldn't have a better partner, because the way you go behind the scenes to put it all together. Mm-hmm. Y'all, let me tell you, when you hear the good sound quality, you see how we show up in this space. This is Sylvia.
I appreciate you.
I just talk. Let me tell you, I don't know none of that other shit. I ain't even trying, because it would blow my mind, and I'm not trying to get my mind blown.
I appreciate you. Just saying, it is a labor of love.
I really appreciate it, and it's awesome, you know, because she goes to great bounds to do the things that she's doing to get the product that is out here.
Yeah.
So thank you, honey.
Do the most was a person. It's still going to be me, and I'm still going to claim it. And I believe in this. Mm-hmm. So I want it to be as great as possible. And I want it to continue to get better. So, yeah.
That's what's up.
But
that's
what's I appreciate you appreciating me. That makes me very happy.
A bouquet of flowers. What kind of flowers you like?
I like peonies. I like magnolias. I just like flowers. I like potted flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just gave you a magnolia.
I appreciate
flower.
It.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Because I don't know about the other ones. I ain't never heard of them before.
Anyway, so what's been better for you, Lori?
Well, so it's interesting. We were just talking about planting and gardening and shit the other episode. And I told you, I'm not going to be gardening.
You did say it.
I did.
You did say it.
But how about my daughter got me a hydroponics system?
I love it.
So now I have, in the last day, I have planted some kale,
I love
some arugula, and cilantro.
I love it.
But it's in the kitchen. It ain't outside. It's in the kitchen under maybe a hot-ass light.
That's what you needed, though. Maybe that's what you needed. Because the one thing I said was, like, it's a commitment. You got to get up. You got to go outside. Mm-hmm. You don't want to stand out there. You're going to forget the water. This is all in one. And right there in your kitchen.
Let me tell you how God is good. I'm not complaining at all. That's what's better. Like,
I love it.
I had it in my soul to do. Like, there was an inner desire. But I wasn't trying to go outside and do all of the things. So all the things came inside and packaged itself up and said, just put a seed in me. And that's all I did.
I love it. I
love it. Very thankful. And all I had to do was turn on a light.
Maybe that's, though, like what you needed to just ease yourself back into growing food. Because I really do believe everybody needs either an herb garden or they just need something that triggers like, I should take control of like the food that I'm eating.
Absolutely. Seriously. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, I don't remember what show I was watching, but times are interesting these days. And it's very important that we have food for ourselves and know how to grow it. So I'm just going to say that. And so, yes, that's been better for me. I'm very thankful that that was a manifestation of things. I did say that I desired that, and it just came. And that's how many things are going to come if we just remember that we have the power to create. So Miss Sylvia, what are we talking about today?
So I figured we'd stay in the vein or with our mini series here on objectives. But this year, you know, I want to feel as safe as possible. And I think the thing I was telling my friend with the birthday party, that the thing I'm going to work on the most is not judging myself, not judging others, because I was finding that, especially when it came to something like COVID and masking and vaccines and things like that, I was judging. I was literally judging because I felt like it wasn't taken seriously. I felt like, you know, it's affecting me if I'm in a space with somebody who chooses their own choices or is passive about it or any. I was judging and I was like, I don't want to be around these people. I don't want to do this, you know, or how could they do that to themselves or anything like that? And I was like, it's not on me. But I think because I'm always so like, everybody be better, everybody do better. Let's be better together. That's why I was thinking that.
Okay. So I'm going to question, because in the questions, I hope they produce on the other end as our viewers or our listeners, as they hear your answers, hopefully it'll help them. Right.
Yeah.
So you said it's not on me. What does that mean?
So I think for me, what that means is not everybody's going to do what I do. Not everybody cares.
That's huge.
I think where I start like getting hesitant about all of it, though, is that it still affects me directly, indirectly, because if a person who is like, I'm not wearing a mask, or I don't care, or whatever, if I get sick from their choices, then it still does affect me. So it's like, no, it's not on me, but I have to be okay with still going out and doing whatever I feel like doing also. But I still have like, for me, like what the safe space is like, I still choose to keep like this barrier, this boundary up and away from everyone, because I just don't know. Right. And that unknown is technically still kind of dangerous.
I get
whether anybody wants to admit it or not. So it's like, yes, it's not on me, But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how to not be harshly judgmental about those choices towards mm-hmm. everyone else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, and that's going to take practice. And the more you focus on you, I mean, that might sound so cliche. Yeah. Focus on you.
No, it makes sense.
But what it boils down to is it's almost like walking on water. I think we talked about this before. It's not believing. It's kind of like a delusional space. Like to say, it's delusional for you to go outside and think you're going to be free from germs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you think about people who live to 100 and they ate pork all their life or they smoked all their lives and, you know, like they didn't give a shit about what other people were giving a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
They just lived their lives.
Yeah.
And they in a sense was like, that's not on me. What you do is not on me. I'm going to live in this lane and this lane is going to work for me. Yeah. Now, some other people could smoke and then they die. Right.
Right.
Which lets me know that it's not just about the smoking. It's about the thinking. Mm-hmm. It's about what you think about, because what you think about, you bring about in your life.
Right.
And
right.
so if we stay in our lane, because that's the only lane we really need to be staying in, we can't stay in Sissy Lane and Jimmy Lane and Oscar Lane and Frida Lane. You know, like, we can't stay in these people's lanes and then think our lane is going to be okay.
Right.
So you're on to something, Sylvia, as you're saying, I have to just live my life. I can't be concerned about how they show up. I have to just take these steps out here and believe and hope for the best. I got to hope that I'm going to be okay.
And it's not even necessarily just hoping that I'll be okay. It's that I have to know that I'll be okay, but it's also, I have to not worry about if they're going to be okay.
That too.
That's the key, is like, this is what you're doing. This is the choice that you're making. In a full pandemic, this is the choice that you're making, but it don't have nothing to do with me, because I can't convince you, I can't educate you, I can't make you listen to like guidelines or doctors or studies or data or nothing. I can't make you do that. Like, and it can't be on me to do that.
Right. Well, how did you do that in the first place? Like, what was there that you were concerned about somebody else? Like,
I think because it's like, I know how my immune system is. I know like the sicknesses I've gotten from teaching in a school where people would still send their kids to school with a fever or a runny nose or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just don't care about the next person. Mm-hmm. You literally don't. You know that this child is going to spread germs throughout a whole school. Mm-hmm. Not even just in my classroom. Mm-hmm. And there I am now with strep, or there I am now with flu A or flu B or whatever.
Right.
So I think from then I've always been like, yeah, people don't care about other people and it scares me.
I think
that's what it is. It's a fear. It's a literal fear of somebody else's choices are going to harm me.
Thank you. There it is. And I could not tell you that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You had to come upon that on your own. Mm-hmm. And once you get it, now you get to decide. Because what we were talking about in the last episode, you have a choice. Yeah. You get to choose. Do I fear that what these people are doing are going to affect other people? Or can I believe just a little bit? Which hope is in there somewhere too. But can I believe with everything in me that they don't know? And because they don't know, that's why they're doing that. I do know. I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to, it could be pray for them. It could be believe that at some point they'll figure it out and they'll get it, that you're putting germs out in the air that are harmful. You get what I'm saying? Instead of fearing that what they're doing is going to harm me and other people.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Because that's therein lies the judgment. Like, damn them.
Damn them, because it's like, I know you should know better. Or I know that you have access to the same information. Or that you are making a choice to be willfully ignorant. It's like, no. They're just making a choice.
That's it.
Whatever the choice is, they're just making a choice.
Right. So, and their choice is not our choice.
No. So, right. So in that is trying to work on, yes, not being judgmental, but also trying to cultivate the safest space for myself possible.
That's it. That's all you have.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think also when I say safe spaces, it's also about making sure that I'm mentally safe and not entering back into psychological contracts with people who are going to make me unsafe or going to make me unstable or going to harm me in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So I think it's also that is figuring out how to. I was looking at this. It was I think it's Black Girls Who Manifest, and we still got to do a whole episode on manifesting. But it was like, don't go back to old emotions, and figuring out that you don't have to go back to the same places to reignite those same emotions. I guess because we're coming up on a year of everything that happened last year. I mean, today is January 6th. Yikes. Thinking about how I felt on January 6th, watching everything that was happening January 6th, and how mentally unstable that was making me feel, and how unstable our country was and things like that. But then thinking of what all the days that were coming and all the emotions that came from that, I don't want to go back to that, but I'm also paying attention to making sure that I put a boundary up so I don't go back to that.
Exactly. What are you doing? What kind of boundary are you putting up?
How I communicate and who I communicate with would be one thing. And then really being honest with myself about what I want.
Yes.
And how I want to get whatever it is that I want.
I love it. That's the thing. So as you put that in motion, therein lies the manifest. You set it in motion and it becomes a thing because you're thinking about it and you're bringing it about.
Can I ask you, like, how do boundaries work without isolation? Because that's, for me, boundaries feel more physical than they do metaphorical. And I don't like the feeling of isolation.
Okay.
But I also don't have like a happy medium of, okay, I have a boundary about this thing. So I can't like interact with these people or I can't do this. It's a lot of can'ts when I see a boundary or when I feel a boundary. Do you hear me in that?
Oh, yeah, I do. And so I'll use a boundary like to say, put it this way, I'll deal with people who are kind. Just throwing this out there. I really want to be around people who are kind, right? So then if I run across someone who says unkind things, maybe I might question them and ask them, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, did you know that what you're saying is unkind, right? And then they might say, oh, wow, I didn't know. Thank you for telling me. Or they could say, I don't give a fuck, you know, right? And like, and as soon as they come out their mouth with that, I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Duly noted. Yeah. And I move on because then I'm not in their space anymore because they let me know they don't care about being kind. It's not it's not important to them about being kind. So I'm going to choose to do differently. And so we can take the can'ts out and we can look at what you desire. And that's a boundary as well. Like I choose to drink spring water. That's a boundary. So if somebody comes to bring me tap water, like,
no, thank you.
No, thank you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? That's your boundary, right?
Yeah.
Or like, for instance, you might be in a no slap zone. Like, don't slap me, I ain't gonna slap you.
Right.
You slap me, I can't fuck with you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's your boundary.
Right.
I'm in this slap free zone. Right.
Right.
And so that's, and so based on what I'm saying, what are you getting from that?
I'm getting that having a boundary is kind of isolating in a way, because you start shedding and losing interactions. But I have to look at it in this aspect of, instead of it's just a whole bunch of losses, a whole bunch of L's like we talked about, it's making space for the right thing for me.
Yes. And
I'm reanimating that. I'm rebranding that.
Because okay. If we think about the loss, it's like, oh, I'm shedding. Yeah, you are shedding. You are shedding shit that don't work for you.
Right.
And you're asking for what you desire.
Yeah.
And so you're not necessarily asking to be alone, unless you're asking to be alone, but you're asking for better. You're asking for peace. You're asking for comfort. You're asking for, I think you mentioned earlier, safe. You desire to be safe. So you're putting yourself in a community of safety.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. I guess where the hesitation was before, I just literally figured this out in real time. The hesitation was, oh no, I'm going to be alone because I'm going to lose however many people because of not feeling safe around them.
But you're going to gain.
There's new people coming. Mm-hmm. I always feel like there's new people coming.
Yeah.
There has to be space for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, just realizing that I'm making room for what does work for me.
Yeah.
Makes more sense. It does. It makes a lot more sense.
Right. Which also says I can't be concerned. I love these people or whatever, but I can't be concerned that I'm gonna lose them.
Right.
Or stay. You see what I'm saying? Like, if that's the case, if you don't want to lose them, you have a choice still.
Okay.
You cannot go through door A. You can stay at door B. It's your choice. But then is there any regret? Is there any feeling of loss? Like you because again, some in our choosing, there will be a leaving.
Right.
And they can come with you if they want to.
Right.
It's up to them.
It's a choice, right? It's a choice. Like, do you feel like boundaries look different in different relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Like parent to child and siblings or marriages or friendships? Like, how do boundaries, because I guess you can't have necessarily the same boundary with everybody, or can you?
Well, the boundary could be the same the whole way. Like, I'll use slap zone. I'll stay in that space. I don't put my hands on people, right? Like, I'm not trying to harm anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you might have a child. Like, say you have three children.
Mm-hmm.
One child will continually try the boundary, whereas maybe the other two are like, I'm not going to harm either, mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard what you said, whatever, whatever. But the other one's like, mom, I slapped Tommy today. I slapped little Jimmy today. Like, because they hit me, because this is justification for what, like a reason to try to push the boundary. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a justification for it. Any excuse will do.
Right.
But are you going to listen? Are you going to find a way to honor the boundary, or are you not?
Right. Okay.
And so yeah, they're going to look different to different people in different relationships because of the people's personality, their point of view, their perspective, like, you know, and you only can manage, you can't make somebody honor your boundary. You can't make them, you know?
So this goes back to like the whole COVID thing. Like, I can't make anybody feel this the same way I feel it.
Right. Like, we can't make people wear a mask. That's no, we can't itself.
Make people do right. anything.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. Right. And so
yeah,
I was in the movies watching Avatar with my daughter the other day. Mm-hmm. And this lady and her daughter were next to me. And I don't wear a mask, right? Mm-hmm. And I ain't tripping, and I ain't tripping about other people wearing masks, right? But the girl started coughing and her mama did too. And it was one of those congestive coughs, like you could hear mm-mm. like a little bit of phlegm come up in the cough. I said, I'll be down. I'm right here next to them. And see, for me, right, that's my judgment came up like, bitch, mm-hmm. why? If you and your daughter got a little cold, why y'all not wear masks?
Right, right. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. So what I did was I just pulled my shirt up over my nose. Now, did that keep me from her cough? I don't know. I felt safe, though.
It did something. It did something.
I felt better. I liked the way my shirt smelled. I was trying to find ways, like, listen, this is okay. Laura, you're going to be all right. This woman is disrespectful, you know. And I was telling my daughter that because she kind of giggled at me because I saw her, you know, she's like, Mom, you tripping, you know. But, and then what happened, which is, again, what you think about, you bring about.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, I heard other people coughing and other people. And so that's the whole point. If I dismissed mm-hmm. her, dismissed that whole thing and immediately said, I'm good. I'm going to be okay. Yeah. I'm fortified. I've taken my vitamins. I'm healed. I'm okay. Like, if I were to, Lori, focus on the movie, you see what I'm saying? I allowed myself to focus on them. And then what I did was attract all coughing. Mm-hmm. And I did. I attracted all the coughing, you know? And so again, I digressed a little bit, but the whole point is when you have boundaries, everybody's not going to respect them and you can't make people, but what you can do is you can manage yourself. That's the best you can do.
So I would have run out. That's just me. Okay. I'll give you a case in point.
Oh my goodness.
We ordered food. And so I got out of the car to go in the restaurant to pick up the food. And I would say I was at the door
mm-hmm.
and I took a deep breath because I always do, like, before mm-hmm. I go in a place. And I said, wait a minute, that breath was just a little bit too clear. Wait a sec. I didn't have my mask on. I just got out of the car, bopped out. I turned immediately around, went back to the car
uh-huh.
and Drew rolled the window down. I said, look at my face. What's the problem? And he's like, are you okay? And I said, look at me. And he was like, oh my God, where's your mask?
That is so funny.
What a mask. Because for me,
mm-hmm.
I can't get in everybody's environment.
Mm-mm. Right. Mm-mm. And again,
and I was going in a place also that was like a bar-ish.
Okay.
So they had
okay.
hookah and like I would have had an asthma attack.
Oh,
so
no.
It wasn't even COVID for me. Mm-hmm. It was, mm-hmm. I was going to stop breathing.
Right.
So
right.
I had to think about situations like that also mm-hmm. all the time, which is, again, I got to work on, like, don't judge. People
right.
are doing hookah in a pandemic. It's okay. Right. It's okay, self.
Let me tell you, I'm glad you said that, because the other end is possible, too, because they could be judging you as well to say, this mm-hmm. lady,
yeah,
you know, what's
when
going on
in,
with her?
People looked at me absolutely crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely crazy people were looking at me. Like, you came to a bar where they do hookah with a mask on. Like, what is wrong with you?
What did you get from there?
Mexican food. It was great. The food had a tinge of hookah to it, but it was good.
Girl, you know what? And see, again, I'm not going to judge. You know what I mean? Because,
right, but you have to, like, I have to tell myself not to judge.
But you know what? What I have told myself, you can laugh. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning to laugh my ass off, because it keeps me from going low, right?
Yeah.
Into deep into a judgment. Because mm-hmm. some things are comical, you know?
Yeah.
And it lightens the load for you to lift it back up to say, everybody has a choice.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to do what they want to do. Allow her to come in here with her mask. If she feels safe, that's mm-hmm. fine. It doesn't change my day. It doesn't make me lose my shit because she has a mask on it, a mask on her face. Like, what?
Yeah. I think another part of, like, in the judgment and what I'm practicing also is that it's got a tinge of jealousy to it, too. And I know it and I admit it. I'm a little jealous that people, like, are out living their life. I'm a little jealous that people are like, what pandemic? Yeah. Or the people who, like, 100% don't believe in it, think it's fake. Like, damn, that would be nice to just, like,
you can
freewheel it.
You can't.
Yeah, I won't.
I won't. Okay, and so I'm glad you said that too, because now you get to choose whether to be jealous or not. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
You don't have to be. You know, this is your lane that you desire to be in. But you can also go or hang out with them. It's up to you. Yeah. You know, maybe try it one day. Try it 2 days. Come back. Try it, you know. It's putting on different hats to see if it fits. Mm-hmm. And that way you don't have to be jealous, because their life ain't no better than yours. It's just not. It's just they happen to do this thing, but then there's some other things they might be jealous about with you.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? It's just in this space that they could give a two shits about COVID. And part of me, I could give two shits about COVID too. Like, until somebody coughed next to me.
See, but then I'm like, how do you do both? You gotta just be like, no, I still don't care. I still don't care.
You're right. I have to remind myself, but I go into, but even before COVID, biatch, you know, not to be coughing around folks. So you know how to. That's all I'm saying. It's still like, and even with that, I still have to let it go. But I'm just saying where I am as far as how people show up. You just cough out here in these damn streets like you can. Like, I'm privileged.
Yeah.
You know, and here these other people are covering their faces. But but again, even with that, I have to bring it down and remember everybody doesn't think like me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's where I go. Honey, they're in their own world. If somebody coughs out in front of them, they might get pissed, because sometimes people think that they can do, but they don't want other people to do. That's the tinge of narcissism that floats in the air, you know? And so I have to understand that we live in this world full of empaths and narcissists and their variations of the two. And there's only two types of people, people who do good and people who don't. You see what I'm saying? And they're variations of that, you know? People who are aware and people who are unaware. And there are variations of the two. You get what I'm saying? So,
yeah, definitely. There are definitely two different types of people. And I get that. Okay, I got one more question before we, like, try to figure out if we're going to wrap this up. So, in your safe space, like, what does your safe space look like, Lori? Like, okay, that's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
What does your safe space look like? And then do you have different language in each safe space? Like, the safe space that you have at your home versus when you were working in your office, was that like a certain kind of safe space? Or do you have a safe space when you are out in the world? Like, when you were in the movie theater, how do you have a safe space outside of the environment that you control, basically? Like, how do you keep your safe space, and then how do you speak in that safe space?
Well, I want to kind of make sure I'm understanding where you're coming from as far as safe space is concerned. So give me an idea or an example what you would say a safe space is for you.
So I'll just say, for me, like, my home is a safe space to me. Like, I know when I cut this off, I'm completely, like, just calm and chill and not worried about, like, are my glasses reflecting and, you know, like, things like that. Like, I mean, for the most part, this is me. Like, I think my language is a lot more colorful than it is. Even though I cuss on here, I cuss a lot more.
Really?
When the microphone's...
Oh, okay. So that's cool. Okay.
All the emphasis.
Okay.
So all the emphasis. I might be Samuel L. Jackson when we cut this off.
Oh, so, wow. I didn't know that. Sylvie, that's awesome.
A lot. I don't know. Something like the N-word is not uncommon.
I hear you.
So, and some people are like very hesitant about that. And I mean, I get it. So it's like, it's not something I would say on here.
I hear you.
But turn this microphone off.
I feel you. I get it.
It's going to happen.
Right. So I get it. I'm not mad at it. Right. Because that's where you live, you know?
Right.
Right. There's some safe spaces that I have because of my family. So I think it's a family thing too. But okay. I'll give a couple of them. Like, one of my safe spaces is my hat. I love it. I got a lot of them. I love them. If I feel good, I feel like Sasha Fierce kind of thing. Like,
I don't have
to be so poised and elegant and, you know, formal. I think informal is my safe space, right?
Mine too. I totally get that.
Yeah. So a sweatshirt, some jeans, some sneakers without socks.
Yes.
Hello? That's a safe space for me.
Yes.
Right. Another safe space is to kind of hang with my crew. Like, that crew could be me and Tommy chilling, or I'm hanging out with my sister, or I'm here at the house and I'm just playing some cards. Like, that's a safe space. Or if I'm out in public, just like I said, with my hat on, my sweatshirt, and just kind of maybe in the summertime, I got my sunglasses on, kind of incognito, that kind of thing. Or I'm in certain areas where, like, I'm on the Beltline, or I'm in like Midtown, or, you know, some of the, you know, like areas where I know a lot of the people are like who I am.
Okay.
That's a safe space. Right.
Okay.
So it's kind of like that.
So different things can be safe spaces, and different places can be safe spaces. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. And in certain conversations too, like you saying that, you know, you use your cussing and, you know, your language or whatever. Like, my language is my language too. Like, you know, sometimes I might cuss, sometimes I might not. It just varies. 'Cause when I'm working with clients, I feel them out.
Right.
Because I want to get into their lingo. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to really press mine, but if they cuss, I'm gonna cuss with them. If they don't, I'm not gonna cuss, you know? So that's how I am. I really jump in and jump out of people's spaces. And, but that's how I've been taught to do. So,
Yeah.
But at home, I'm just chilling, and maybe I'm not even wearing halfway nothing, you know, like a muumuu or something like that.
Yes, ma'am.
That's real safe. Like, for me, like, I'm so chill. Like, I wear a partial because I'm in the process of getting these crowns for my implants. I'm gonna take that damn bitch out. Like, I'm taking that partial out. Like, I don't want to be constrained. So that's a safe space for me. Taking all the constraints off. Take my shoes off. Take my socks off. Put some flip-flops on, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's what you're speaking of, right? Like,
yes, it was like that. You can have a safe space within yourself, or you can have your safe space outside of your bubble. Just wherever you go, you make it safe for yourself, is what I was kind of asking. And yeah, you definitely answered that, because I get now, how I dress and how I like things to be comfortable, and how my house is set up, and like people come over and it's like, okay, well, obviously you can't wear your shoes in our house. Like, that's just, it's been a rule forever. But if you came to our house, you would realize, like, you don't want to wear your shoes. Like, you want to kick them off and like sit back and like chill at our house.
Right.
Front yard, backyard, in the house at all. It's just a shoeless situation. I don't know. I will have on some pajamas. It will be a house dress. It's going to happen. I will right. put my overalls over my house dress to go outside and look at the garden. Like, it's going
that's
to
what
happen.
I'm talking about. Right.
It's going
that's
to happen.
So, yes, I love it.
I'm going to be comfortable. I think that became such a safe space for me from working in schools for so mm-hmm. long, and the mm-hmm. schools wanted you to be suit and tie, like buttoned up. And I would be like, I'm dealing with chemicals. Or right. we have little kids. Like, why would I be buttoned up? And these are like little kids that have germs or that, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. You're going mm-hmm. to get messy. So mm-hmm. I would always be like, it would be like a prerequisite question in an interview for me. If I was changing schools, mm-hmm. I would say like, do you guys wear jeans? And right. not on Fridays only.
Right.
And, you know, I've been in schools where it's like you had to pay to wear jeans on Friday.
Ciao.
And it was only Friday, and it was only certain Fridays, you know, certain things mm-hmm. like that. And it's just like, this is so uncomfortable. And I realized back then that when I was uncomfortable, I couldn't work.
Right.
I wasn't productive. Mm-hmm. And the more comfortable I could dress, the more I was like, let's do this. Let's get in mm-hmm. here. Like, let's right. interact, you know, all those things. So mm-hmm. even, yeah, down to how you dress would change the safe space.
Right.
And then doing it without judgment, because I don't care if you exactly. want to be buttoned up. That's right. on you.
Right. Because I can't determine how life is comfortable for you. And I, right. and I'm glad you said that, Sylvia. I think if we took a little bit of judgment off
mm-hmm.
and let us just shine in the way we shine. Like, yeah. I love the safe space for Black women to wear their hair naturally.
Oh my God.
That's an awesome Absolutely. Ass safe space. And having that crown act take place.
Yeah.
Don't fucking judge me about my hair.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
And please, we have to stop doing it to each other. I think the yes. worst thing is going around family, friends, or whoever, and them saying, well, what are you going to do with your hair? This is how I'm doing my hair. Like, you know,
and sometimes, and I'm just going to tell everybody, listen, if somebody asks you some questions about your hair and you're like, that's some fuck shit, you don't have to answer them.
No.
You don't. Like, no. look at them. Just look at them. Because mm-hmm. yeah. they need to start recognizing, close your dang on mouth. Like, for real, yes. close your mouth. If you don't have anything good to say, be quiet. If you don't want to wear your hair in locks, don't wear your hair in locks. If mm-hmm. you don't want to wear your hair short, don't.
Right.
But I'm going to wear my hair short. Or yeah. if you're going to perm your hair, perm your hair. I'm not saying nothing about your hair being permed. Don't say nothing about my kinky. You mm-hmm. know? And so that's the whole point. And we can live in harmony because yeah. ultimately we really live in our own bubbles. And we come yeah. out and interact with folk who live in their own bubbles. And so how you show up is how you show up. And I pray that you ain't trying to harm, because I'm over here not trying to harm. You know, mm-hmm. I yeah. just want to take care of myself and really be respectful of others. And ultimately, if we can do that, we cooking, honey. We over yeah. here doing a daggone thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and it would just be so much easier.
Absolutely. We wouldn't have so much. We wouldn't have that J6 shit, that January 6th. Like, we wouldn't nope. have that, because people would be in a lane loving on themselves.
Yeah.
And then loving others. Yeah. If you loving on yourself and you loving others, there ain't no judgment in that. There ain't no judgment in love.
And I don't think, I'll end with this. I don't think that you could easily be brainwashed into doing something like an insurrection on the United States government if you were loving on yourself. And loving
exactly.
on
that's a lot of self-hatred going on. And
I don't
all
think
of
that you could.
And it's a group of them. It's a group of people yeah. who hate themselves, and they trying to overthrow that, you know, the government mm-hmm. or trying to harm other people because they're hurting. So you yeah. know what hurt people do. They're
hurt people. Oof. All right. Well, this was very interesting. I still think there's like more to this topic that I probably will have questions about later, but thank you again for another awesome episode.
And hey,
thanks yes. for listening, everyone.
Yes, thank you. Have a good one.
All right.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.